Praise you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Good morning.
Good morning.
Please be seated. Hearing, encountering, acting. Responding. There is a pattern of faith expressed in Luke's gospel that is repeated over and over again, and we believe it's part of our own experience of faith. The greatest typical example is that of the road to Emmaus after the incredible events of Holy Week and Passion Side, the crucifixion. Early on that morning, the disciples are walking along with a stranger and they have no idea that it is Jesus. And their hearts are, he's explained to them other than the scriptures. And only in the breaking of the bread do they recognize who he is. And they respond, "Did our hearts not burn on the road when he spoke to us?" And he disappears from the midst. And he needed to go back and tell them the disciples of their encounter with the Holy One of God. There is this pattern of hearing, learning, and then having a divine encounter, and then needing to go and tell someone about it, and express it, and act on one's faith and encounter. We see that again this morning. This pattern is repeated throughout the gospel, but here Jesus speaks. It's from a boat on the water, coastline coming down, the crowds are gathering around. And people hear his words and follow him because he's a man of gracious words. And then the divine encounter happens, this holy thing. Peter experiences it, and then they follow him. It's the season of Epiphany and divine manifestation of God. We began with the water into wine, and we'll continue leading up to the transfiguration in that story. And throughout this period of the bowels of the winter, we hear these stories of God's revelation and the effect upon the disciples. It's a good attempt today, a good idea today for us to begin to understand and remember our first encounter and what caused us to be here on the perfectly fine Sunday morning. Because if you didn't have that encounter, you wouldn't be here. But it began with someone talking to you about it first. Now, some of us probably have a very distinct moment when we said, "Yes, I'm going to follow this guy and live my life pattern after his life." We can probably come to a point in our journey where we can remember exactly what that event was. Some of us who were raised in the life of a Christian family and went to church, baptized, confirmed, First Communion, whatever we are, married to church, we can't remember when we weren't part of the Christian community. It was just how we identify ourselves. I'm not suggesting one is better than the other. It really doesn't matter. God doesn't care. You're here. But it's also valuable to recognize, when was it that you said, "Yeah, I'm going to keep doing this"? It's very important, I think, to have a moment when you said yes, to remember what that was. And there were probably many times in various places in your life. And part of that probably was after some kind of important encounter of the holiness of God. And we get an idea about what that means, that important encounter, because there's no response to it. Peter's response to this overwhelming plenitude of fish is a sense of his own distance from holiness. And he says, "Stay away from me, I'm not allowed to be." You know, when you're in the midst of such brightness, your life just seems all shadow. So maybe one way to define and discern how God has been in your life in those few moments is when have you felt the most different from that encounter? That it wasn't part of you. And then respond simply to give yourself over to it. Sometimes those are rather dark moments, where you turn your life around. Some are moments where just crisis that come along in your life. Some could be a physical thing, or the challenges that come on your earthly journey. But always, it was something that was profoundly deep and moving. And I invite you to spend some moments thinking about that today, later this week. What was it? Who was it? And give us some thought about that. So, do you know why I'm a Christian? Let me tell you a story, but you're going to have to wait. I'll do that another day. But someone brought you to faith. Someone told you, whether it was your parent who brought you to a Sunday school teacher, Robert Scalvis. That was nice. These human beings out. People in your life brought you to this place. You can never arrive here on your own. Faith isn't like that. You don't count your faith in yourself. It isn't that. That's the wonderful thing about not just Scouts, but other movements that have blessed humanity. They didn't arise out of nowhere. They came out of something before them. We Christians understand that the event of Jesus Christ fundamentally changed the pivot, the axis upon which humanity understood itself. That moment when every human being is worthy of being respect, that came out of nowhere, and that ever since we've been living into that, what values that you have originated with the Christ? The values are scattered. If we're going to experience, if you haven't ever been to a Scout thing, or you aren't part of that, it's not part of your life, no worries. Because what you're going to hear is we rededicate ourselves to those who serve in Scouts. There aren't too many here today, but it's fine. It's the first time you're trying this thing. You'll resonate with Christian faith no matter what. Male, female, Scout, non-Scout, the language, the oath, the practices, the tenets of it, are completely the event, point of life, the life of Christ. So many organizations, fraternal and sororal, is that a word? Fraternity with sorority, those organizations that do good works, where do they come from? They come from the Enlightenment. The Enlightenment came from something else. So today is a good day to go back to the start. Why are you a Christian? How did you begin? How did you hear? What model provided for you that example? However imperfect they were, right? However imperfect they were. Whatever unresolved issues you have, your family origin, priest who didn't do it the right way for you, whatever that was, somehow the common effect of the elements of your life brought you to this moment to be in where you want to be better. Otherwise, why would you be here? Further developed and enfolded in the community of faithful in the presence of Christ. So I'll tell you my story. I think people want to know. But you should be able to tell your story to other people, because the only way people will come to faith is through the words of your mouth and the action of your mind. And it is good enough for you. And so many people don't know. So many people think we're just a bunch of hypocrites, and we are. Some people think we just do this stuff. I don't know, for whatever reason, but they don't know what you really are, who you are, what you do, and why you do it. And it means you sometimes you have to say why. At some point, someone says, why do you spend your time doing what you do, spending your money the way you do? Do you have a good enough experience of saying why? I invite you to consider that. I'm a Christian because I know this, I had this experience, and I live my life over to this model of being because this happened to me, and this I know is true. I invite you to ask, you come to terms with that your own. Right? Because you may be the only gospel another person ever reads.